Derek Bozeman.
Derek Bozeman.
Derek Bozeman.
Derek Bozeman.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
Yeah, I say it. I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
Welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WLK, the voice of the community, 404-892-2703. One of the things that certainly you can always count on when we begin to look at school discipline issues, when we begin to look at who gets sent to the office, who ultimately get expelled, who ultimately gets sent to alternative schools, who's for almost likely of all race and gender to be the ones most likely tracked into juvenile detention, ultimately who disproportionately is represented in our jail systems, whether it's county, state, even federal. One thing becomes very crystal clear. If you're young, African-American, that race to the jailhouse oftentimes begin at the schoolhouse. And so we have with us today Chandra Thomas Whitfield. She is a 2011 Soros Justice Fellow, Media Fellow. Chandra, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Welcome back.
I always have a great time hanging out with you.
Yeah, and you came back with a new addition.
Yeah, a couple of new additions. A new last name, a little baby over there wearing his future Morehouse man onesie over there, Riley Whitfield.
All right, we're going to have to change that uniform, but no, Riley's a handsome fella. Let's talk about that, because part of your research is looking at African-American males and African-Americans in general and how they fare in our educational system. You begin to look at the disproportionate number of students of color who end up in alternative schools. Let's talk about that a little bit. What was your interest in this particular issue, and what preconceived notions you had about what you might find when you begin to start looking at this as an issue?
Well, it's interesting you asked me what drew my interest. What actually drew my interest was the case of Forest Hill Academy, which is an Atlanta public school in Southwest Atlanta. I was actually thinking about what I wanted to do as far as proposing a project, and I read about Forest Hill Academy. And for those who aren't familiar with Forest Hill Academy, it is it's an Atlanta alternative school. And in 2008, a lawsuit was filed by the ACLU against the school. And this school the Atlanta Public School System had actually contracted out this school to a company called Community Education Partners, which some people have reported that has ties to Corrections Corporation of America, which is the country's largest private prison company. So someone kind of put a bug in my ear. Hey, how do you think most people would feel about their child going to a school that has an indirect connection, but a connection nonetheless to a prison company? And they just said, look into that. So I started doing some research and I found out about the school. The Atlanta Public School System was paying this company $7 million a year to operate the school. And the school had about, I think, a little over 400 students. And basically, you could bring no books into the school, no pen, no paper. The children were actually patted down and went through metal detectors. And I even believe removed their shoes and everything just to go to school. Once they got into the school, they actually were separated by gender. And they stayed in their pods, as they're called, for the whole day. And they were gender segregated, and it sounded eerily like a prison. And I was thinking, wow, this is really interesting. So ACLU filed suit. There were allegations of kids being illegally searched, slammed into walls. I mean, the curriculum, I mean, like basically a lot of these kids actually, to their defense, many of the students, although this was grade 6 through 11, actually came in on a third grade reading level And what was interesting is that when they left the school, they didn't do much better. In fact, data from the 2006-07 school year showed that 91% of its students failed the state's assessment test in mathematics and 66% failed the reading portion. So long story short, ACLU filed suit. Atlanta Public Schools, which they filed the suit under the Atlanta Independent School System, actually settled with them, agreed to end the contract with Community Education Partners, and they agreed to make some upgrades to the school. So I recently visited the school earlier this summer, and I did an update for a publication called Youth Today, where I visited the school to just see how the school was going, how things were going at the school, I should say. And that really opened my eyes, and I think that when you said preconceived notions, I think that most of us, when we hear about alternative schools, we automatically think bad kids and kids who did bad things, which, you know, in some cases, I mean, obviously they are. But I guess the question is, if you did something, is there a way to rehabilitate you? Is there any way to take someone who's 14, 15, 16 years old and actually turn that situation around? And so I was really intrigued with the idea that alternative schools in many cases are failing students. And many of these students, if they don't get a quality education, they're actually going to probably end up in a prison system. And whether you care about people or whether you care about money, that affects all of us. Because if you care about people, you may think, hey, maybe this kid didn't really have a real chance. The other side of it is we pay for this. So if you care about money, do you really want to pay for this kid to be in prison? And prior to working here, I mean, doing this fellowship, I was working for a website called the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange. And we found that it cost three times as much to put a child in prison than to actually educate them. So from a fiscal standpoint, I think we all care about saving money, especially in the middle of a recession. So,
all right. 404-892-2703. We do have some history of Forest Hill Academy. I know quite a bit about the program when it was proposed. Who's running the school now?
Atlanta Public School is running it. They actually have a whole new staff. And part of the settlement is they got rid of the entire staff. They even painted over the murals that were on the walls that Community Education Partners have put in the school. It's a very nice facility. They now do have a cafeteria. I'm sorry. They do have a library. They still don't have a cafeteria. They don't really have any like extracurricular activities like sports or, you know, choir or chorus or anything like that. But they said that they are addressing the issue with the special needs students. They're supposed to give them, I don't know, for those of you who are familiar, they need to have a plan for those students. So things are looking up, but, you know, but that's just one school out of over 200 alternative programs in the state.
404-892-2703, 404-892-2703. When we come back, we'll talk about the profile. Who gets sent to Forest Hill Academy? And we'll talk about some of the historic reasons why some of us say Forest Hill Academy was created in the first place. And it had nothing to do.
I want to hear that one.
Has nothing to do with discipline. It had everything to do with getting students who would have contributed to the failure rate at schools out of those schools for a period of time until the CRCT test was over. It's part of what it was. 404-892-2703. When we come back, we'll talk to Chandra Thomas Whitfield. She'll also take your questions. If you have questions or comments, we'd certainly like to hear from you. 404-892-2703. We'll be back in a moment.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Desegregation ruined the American school system. When did test scores across the country drop? After desegregation. When did drug use and violence in schools go up? After desegregation. There were never no white kids shooting up nothing before they started going to school. When these little angels wouldn't even know what a gun was. The white man is a peace-loving man. People say the key to fixing the problems of Negroes is education. But I say education is not the answer. Why bother? And what do they do in college anyway? Oh, they go there. They party. Get drunk for 4 or 5 years and end up just as ignorant as when they came in. You ever seen these fraternities and sororities? You ever seen these things? Silliest I ever seen in my life. You think Aristotle turned to Achilles and said, hey, let's create a fraternity and jump up and down barking like dogs? Hell no. white man out there getting Nobel Prizes and doing business deals in the fraternities, jumping up and down with candy canes and doing all kinds of sillish with their hands. People say there's no difference between races. Well, I tell you what, I've been cleaning bathrooms for a long time, and I can say white men just don't smell the same as black Africans. See, the white man just got a better liver. White man eats his meat raw. See, that's healthier. He calls it tartar.
Too much truth.
Oh, the blast from the past, Uncle Ruckus. You got a guy that calls it sound just like him. His name Robert.
For the record, that's not anybody I interviewed. Yeah, that's not my interview.
That's my interview. Uncle Ruckus, that's the way some of y'all look at this thing. Forest Hill Academy, I mean, it's been around now for a minute. It's probably in what this is about year seven, because it came like right after I came off city council. What else did you find? I mean, what are some of the things that were like a shocker to you when you begin to look at Forest Hill and begin to look at tell us how students went from their local high school to Forest Hill? What kinds of things would they have had to have done or acts would they have had to commit at the local high school, Douglas, Carver, mm-hmm. or any of the others to end up at Forest Hill?
Well, I think one thing we need to look at is, you know, Forest Hill is just one example, and that obviously is definitely an extreme example of, you know, especially in light of the lawsuit. But, I mean, this is going on statewide, but what's really interesting is, of course, we expect children who bring guns or shoot or, you know, fight or those type of things. But interestingly enough, my article that I wrote for The Crisis magazine, which should be the current issue of The Crisis, which is the NAACP's national magazine, it basically found that a lot of the reason that kids are put into the alternative schools are actually very subjective offenses, meaning things like classroom disturbance and things like you disrespected the teacher. And those are very subjective. And I think that's probably one of the main concerns, is that there is no real system. It's really like at the discretion of the administrators. So if you feel disrespected, right, you know, and that could be anything. I mean, mm-hmm. it could be, I don't know, a look. It could be all types of things. So I think that's one of the issues, is that the majority of the reason that kids are sent to alternative schools, this is just nationwide as well,
certainly,
they have found that it's mostly subjective offenses like that. And I think that concerns people. And back to your other point about No Child Left Behind. And of course, with the Atlanta Public Schools scandal, that's what we're all talking about, is the No Child Left Behind, that we also found that a lot of the incentive to push out students was because there was a general sentiment that these students were not going to pass the standardized test, and they did not want those children to bring down the scores, putting them on the AYP, you know, not meeting mm-hmm. AYP, adequate yearly progress. So interestingly enough, but back to Forest Hill, the AJC actually reported a couple of years ago that there was a documented spike in transfers to alternative schools, specifically mm-hmm. Forest Hill, prior to standardized tests. So it kind of adds another dimension to the fact that mm-hmm. some kids are getting pushed out just mm-hmm. because they can't make the grade.
Yeah, and we argued that, and at least I made the argument when Forest Hill was first conceived, that it in fact was conceived for the express purpose. Its only reason Atlanta Public School abandoned operating its own alternative school that was on the campus of Carver, and then they had the students at CREM. The only reason they had went to a private operator was because those numbers, whether it was a child being violent, a child not being able to pass, because we have to acknowledge that if they come with a third grade reading level, they stop reading at the elementary school level and have been mm-hmm. socially promoted all the way up to high school, middle mm-hmm. school, or whatever. That the only reason they were there in the first place, because as a privately held corporation, CEP's numbers were not ever registered in the No Child Left Behind equation. And that when APS transferred the children out of the regular school, middle school, or whatever, that child no longer, his permanent record, his record and everything went with him. He was no longer, quote unquote, enrolled in APS, and therefore he could no longer be reported as being violent or being absent mm-hmm. or being, not able to learn or read which were all issues that if they were in aggregate weighed against that school, mm-hmm. could have gotten them on a list of needs improvement or trouble, the labeling that No Child Left Behind brought with it.
See, I didn't know that. I should have interviewed you. I have to keep you in mind for the next story. But interesting, just a couple of statistics I just want to share. For example, now one thing that's interesting is there are not a lot of statistics about alternative schools. The Georgia Appleseed Foundation, which is an organization here that's been working on the juvenile code rewrite in the legislature, they did a report recently, in the last year or two. And so the statistics aren't always up to date. But in 2008, about 27,000 students passed through the state's alternative schools. Most of them were students of color. 17% required special education services. Interesting also, in 2009, the Georgia Department of Education passed a measure, despite objections from some advocates and the Georgia State Conference of the NAACP, to actually allow less classroom time for alternative students. So interesting that they would choose to have less classroom time for students who seem the most challenged. And this study by the Georgia Appleseed, it was called Effective Student Discipline, Keeping Kids in Class. And it found that although African-American students made up 37% of the 2008-2009 student body, they found 58.9% received disciplinary actions. 53% of students who were eligible for free and reduced lunches made up 73% of out-of-school suspensions. And another study by the Southern Poverty Law Center was, showed that Georgia's stats were consistent with the nation. And they looked at the Atlanta public school system as among 18 other school districts. And they found that black boys were nearly three times as likely as white boys to be suspended in many of the nation's middle schools. And black girls were suspended at four times the rate of white girls. So you're looking at, a lot of the same offenses, but the fact that race is playing a role in who gets a harsher treatment. And some people feel like, why reward someone by putting them out of school? Like, what does that actually achieve?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to our phone. Let's go to Brother Bun on line three. Brother Bun.
Hey, Derek, how you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Good, good. I want to say greetings to you and to your guests. Let me give you a big 06. I'm coming from Ada Lambda chapter.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
I am an educator here in Georgia. I teach in the middle schools. I'd rather not say the mm-hmm. county that
That's
I teach
fine.
In.
That's fine.
But everything I heard, you guys are so on point. But my question is this. What is it, in your opinion, that paralyzes black parents from saying no to these schools, that paralyzes mm-hmm. black parents from allowing these kids to be disciplined outside the school system? Mm-hmm. I know when we had parent meetings, I would tell black parents, look, this is what the principal mm-hmm. has said and advised, but mm-hmm. you don't have to do this.
Right.
You can fight this. But they were just paralyzed. I don't know if they didn't know how to, didn't mm-hmm. want to, or didn't have the right. education. I wonder if you guys speak on that.
All right, hold on one second, Brother Bond, because you get some great insight, and I want to tell you about one situation. I can tell you about what I think happens, because mm-hmm. I went to a tribunal, and many of y'all will remember the case. And I want to tell you about that. And this was parents who, as middle class as you can get down in Henry County, and when we come back on the other side of the 30, we'll tell you about that. And what do we, from where I sit, because we deal with parents all the time. And we'll talk about that. And Shania will talk about it as well. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman. If your child was disciplined last year, or if they've been disciplined this year, or if they got to sit out the first week of school because of something that happened on the last day of school, call us up and we can help you out. Try to give you some free advice. 448-922-2703 is our phone number. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WL.
He's the boldest, baddest man on talk radio.
Put your big boy pants on, walk up in here.
Is Derek Bozeman with Too Much Truth.
Take your kind of gentler radio. I'll tell it like it is, whether you like it or not.
Call us at 404-892-2703. On the voice of the community. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Oh, I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Brown. You're listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Let's go to our phone lines. Let's go back to Brother Bond. Brother Bond, you were talking about having parents know their rights. And one of the things I was just sharing, we had a case in Heron County where a kid came with some, this is about 2-3 years ago. And he came, had jock itch, and he his mom gave him some talcum powder. Said, when if you need to, just take the talcum powder, take it to the restroom, and put it on, and that should soothe it. And so we really thought that, the kid told the basketball coach, hey, man, I got a little scratchy itch down here. So if I have to go to the restroom, I have some talcum powder put on it. And so it really was. And do you know they took this kid? They took this kid to tribunal for that.
Wow.
Somehow it gets almost reported. He walked around like he was trying to pretend like he was a drug dealer. The kid did no sort of thing. The coach said he saw it, and so he asked him about it, and he took it, and the kid gave him a full explanation, and the kid thought that was it. The next day, they called him to the office and tell him he's expelled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is as middle class a family as you're going to find. A dad, an officer in the Navy, mom's kind of works too professionally. And we go down there and raise so much hell. Of course, the tribunal reinstated him, but he still had to go through a full hearing. So, you can have as smart a parent and one who know all the rules, and they get caught up in the same system where they do not know their legal rights. They don't know the educational rights their children have. But I'm just glad brothers like you are conscientious enough to try to slip behind the wall and tell them, look, you ain't got to take the recommendation that they're giving you. Because a lot of times when you go to these schools, they think this is one step down from Jesus. If the principal said it, then obviously it means that's the only option you have. They tell him he got to go to an alternative school, then he got to go to an alternative school. They don't know that you can ask for an individualized plan for that child, or you can ask some more questions, or you can, so they just simply do not know their rights, period.
Well, one thing I wanted to add to the caller's question is that I did a story for the Crisis magazine about alternative school issues, and one of the parents that I featured, her son actually was an A student, and he was very, just typically a good student. And then one day he brought what he thought was a BB gun to school. I'm sorry, what he thought was a toy gun to school, and it turned out to be a BB gun that didn't work. But because of zero tolerance policies, he was removed from the school. And his mother did go to the tribunal, and she said that she tried to challenge it. And they said, look, he brought a gun, that's it. And she even offered to homeschool him. And they said he can be homeschooled after he spends a year in the alternative school. This school is called Scott Alternative School in Savannah. And they're actually moving into a virtual system next year. And I want to talk about that a little bit later in my interview. But basically, they had a bus for the students. He was in third grade. So a third grader is supposed to be on the same bus with high school students. And the mother said that they were fighting and there was all kinds of stuff going on this bus. So she had to get up extra early to take her son to school. But just the mere fact that they would even suggest that elementary school students and high school students should be on the same bus. And that was the situation with Scott Alternative. And she said her son came out worse because now he's been exposed to all of this at the school. And even the teachers at the school told her, your son doesn't really belong here. The other kids, they're really bad. They're lifers. They'll be in here for life. But your son doesn't really deserve to be here. So I was, her statement to me was like, wow, that's how the teachers feel? Like they're referring to the students as lifers?
Well, let's be very clear. Thank you, Rob. I tell people all the time and teachers, you cannot teach a child that you do not love. You cannot teach a child that don't love you. You can't teach a child that you don't respect, and you can't teach a child that don't respect you, period. And if you come in here, and a lot of times teachers, that's why I believe in rehabilitating. I used to do a back-to-school thing just for teachers to break the psychological stronghold that you get from being in there. It's like being a jail warden. everybody that comes in there don't have to be treated like they're in not that, like they're not human. You know, none of them do in jail. But you begin to say, you know, if I yell at them and scream at them and holler, instead of just realizing these are people who made maybe made a bad decision at a moment's notice and, you know, regret that. But let's go to Jihad in the West End. Jihad? Jihad? Let's put him on hold and see if he's gone. Let's go to Samela. Is it Samela?
It's Samela.
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 Samela, how are you?
I'm fine, and how are you doing?
Very well.
I came in on your conversation. I didn't hear it from the beginning, but I want to first say that I do agree with a lot of what you and your guests have said. And I also want to actually talk about the flip side of it.
Okay.
First of all, I have lots of experience in education. I'm no longer an educator because I got out of it. But I started in Compton, California, and I must say that I had more success there than I did in these schools in Georgia. And I think one of the major differences is the parenting. There, I could call a parent, and they would jump on my team to basically get their child in line. Whereas here, I got a lot of, my child says, you know, you don't like them, they want you to be their friend. And I think that the Georgia school system, they don't actually use alternative schools correctly. They're not to be throwaways, but some students, they can't handle the regular school model. Mm-hmm. So it would be better for them to be in an alternative situation where they can get the one-on-one and actually maybe resolve some of those issues, because no child goes to school to act out. They always have some underlying issues that they need to deal with. But, you know, I have to tell you, I got to be honest, that there are some kids that need to go there.
Yeah, I don't think we're arguing that against there needs to be an alternative school model. But because Georgia has a compulsory education age of 16, which is another issue, we're saying that if you're going to send them to an alternative school, it shouldn't be a form of warehousing until we get ready to ship them out to prison.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we can do alternative schools very well. I mean, it can be done, but you got to put the level of investment. I simply believe that every child can learn. Do they need to learn? And I will say this summarily, just for me, having looked at education for a long time. And this is what I tell superintendents, everybody else. If just look at it, let's divorce ourselves from education. I'm just going to describe a scenario to you. An individual is brought into a room. In that room is either two items, a hard wooden chair or a hard plastic chair. That individual is 11, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You got that so far?
Yes.
That individual is then given instruction to sit down in this chair for 8 hours. In the middle of the day, 4 hours into it, we'll give you a 30-minute break to get you something to eat. You're going to be back in this chair in another 30 minutes. You're going to sit here for another 4 hours. At that, you're going to listen to instruction from somebody standing in front who may be excited about being there, may not be. And if you move out of that chair, if you squirm, if you try to move, you're going to be given some harsh instructions on don't move. Under the Geneva Convention, that would really be considered a torture methodology. I mean, just really. We said, I McDonald's one of them colleagues, Sheikh Mohammed, into a chair. The only thing we did differently was we poured a little water in his face. That was waterboarding. I mean, the environment that we sit them in. And then we can go either further. If you're in some of these big school systems, we sit you in a room that doesn't even have windows because it's a trailer. The environment that we created in education is not conducive for education. Let me tell you this. Chandra, tell you, I sit here behind this radio for 3 hours, and I get up every break that y'all hear, I'm out of this chair because this chair hurt my butt. Now, can you imagine? If I'm 7 years old, number testosterone coursing through my body, and you telling me to sit down? Are you kidding? I mean, one thing we learned from Ron Clark Academy, They stand on top of the seat. He runs across the table. He stands on the desk. The kids lay on the floor. They run down the slide. If you want to come from the second floor to the first, there's a slide in the middle. If he did that, he would be brought up on charges of neglect. But because he do it in a private school setting, children can lay on the ground. They can take their shoes off, take that off the coat, take a – I mean, again, I think there are many things that are wrong in the educational environment, and one of them is the environment itself. And it puts you at a – and you in there. So you're wondering why you're mad. When they come in – I come in here sometime, they close all the blinds in here. Guess what I do when I immediately get here? I got to open them up. I got the light is conducive. I got to have light wherever I am. I'm not one of these. So the environment itself, I can walk into the teaching environment and can tell you whether teacher is going on or not by what I see on the walls. If I don't see any of your students' material, none of the stuff they self-created, none of their paper, none of their grade, you have no business being in the teaching game because it's too late. Hold on, Shonda, we got to take a break. When we come back, you can answer. You can respond to that. 448-922-2703. We're looking at student discipline issues in the disproportionate number who found themselves on the end of discipline who just so happened to be African-American. Is that a trend, or is it really the school-to-prison pipeline in full effect? Do anybody want the black man? And y'all better not say a white woman. 448-922-2703. We'll be back in a moment.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Connecting you to politics, solving social issues, and giving you access to the community. It's Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Welcome to News and Talk 1380 WLK, the voice of the community. We're talking about all of the issues surrounding education and the issues surrounding who gets disciplined or who gets overly disciplined. And hopefully this will begin to have you ask some questions and go and get greater involvement in your schools. I'm going to be pushing that really, really hard this year because we want you to get involved in your child. You had something to say about?
Yeah, I think another thing, you talked about the environment of the traditional school, but I think the one of the trends that I picked up on that I didn't know about when I started this research was the new trend, which Clayton County has joined in, and Savannah soon will be joining in, is the move to alternative schools becoming a virtual program. And essentially what happened is I did a report recently about the fact that Clayton County last school year decided to get rid of their traditional setting of an alternative school. And the idea was they have this software that they purchased and they give the alternative school students, which are students who we've described as having challenges, whether it be discipline, emotional problems, reading problems, and those type of things, give them a laptop and have them actually stay home and do their work on the computer exclusively, and they come in maybe like once a week to take tests and that type of thing. And it was being touted in Clayton County as this great program, and that this was an alternative to the alternative school, and we need to do something different. Well, I actually had some insiders who were teachers at the school and students at the school saying that they weren't learning. They're not learning anything. They felt like the students just learned how to guess because basically they're doing multiple choice questions. And so if you don't get a certain level on the test, you just have to keep retaking it. So a lot of the teachers felt like all the students were doing was going, well, I did A last time. Let me try C. And then C is right. And they just kind of get that. But when they actually got to taking the test, they did not show any dramatic improvements, according to these insiders. And we have to look at, we live in an environment right now where budgets are tight. And the teachers that I spoke to felt like these kids are the quote unquote screw ups. These are the kids that no one cares about. So it's easy for them to, as in her words, throw a laptop at them and say, teach yourself. And what are the measures in place for these programs? How do we know that it's working?
Well, we know that it's not. If we're just going to call it for what it is, if I have checked out of the regular school system because of discipline or others, how am I going to discipline myself to sit in front of a portal, a computer, and do the classroom? I mean, a part of what we have to do is just call it for what it is. That's a cop-out, and it's a easy way out. you know, so we don't have to deal with it. Out of sight, out of mind. I mean, grandmama understood that. She had third grade, but she had a PhD in common sense. We know that if nobody else won't deal with these kids, we don't. We don't know what old Peanut going to do when he come up in here today. So leave Peanut at home with this laptop. Laptop probably end up, you know, any number of places. But anyway, let's go to Jihad in the West End. Jihad.
Hey, how you doing, brother Derek?
Doing well. How about yourself?
All right. Hello to your guest.
Yep.
Thank you.
This is already passed in Clayton County.
Yes, this one, they're going into the second year. And in fact, I actually did a report at the end of July, the beginning of July. And it happened to be the day that Clayton County was making a presentation to the school board. And they actually have, they defended the program. Actually, board member, Chairwoman Pam Adamson, she said that, you know, they all agreed that the program is working well and they had not heard any complaints about the program. But actually talking to students and people who are closer to the students, they said that it wasn't working. And it was really interesting. The woman that I interviewed, her son, and back to your point, he was disrespectful at school. And so she said every time he got in trouble, they just gave him 10 days. He told me that he had not spent a complete month in school because every time he does anything, he's felt like he got put out for 10 days. But she said I'm computer illiterate and so is he. So he can't teach himself and she can't teach him because she didn't even know how to work the computer. So he told me that I don't like school, but I want my education. So this kid was saying I want an education, but he didn't feel like he was getting it. So this is actually going on in Clayton County. This school year will be the second year that they're going to be doing this program. And, you know, there are some people who are upset about it, but, you know, no one's really protesting it or anything like that. But we just wanted to highlight the fact that some insiders did feel like these students were being deprived of their education.
But DB, how did we sleep this one? I mean, this you know, how do we sleep?
I think Jihad, one of the things that has happened generally in education, certainly in the metropolitan Atlanta area, the CRCT so-called cheating scandal have created such a mushroom cloud of dust and fog that we cannot zero in on educational issues that are important. At the same time, since if the Atlanta Board of Education, its superintendent, the Georgia Board of Education, thought the CRCT was such a wonderful measurement of student achievement and academic progress, why would they opt out of it altogether and ask for a waiver? Georgia joined one of 26 states last year to ask for a waiver from the U.S. Board of Education for No Child Left Behind. So now they're not even under any restriction. They've been told to develop your own guidelines and send them to us. What we also learned is that student achievement did not move one iota since all of the so-called reforms that we done got all the crooks out the classroom. The CRCT tests for all of these schools look almost identical before the cheaters were thrown out. Very few schools, classes, anybody don't picked up any significant gains. So this whole one of the things we have to understand, and I have to constantly remind us, that the budget for the Atlanta Board of Education is larger than the budget for the whole entire city of Atlanta.
Wow.
So these are Atlanta Public School is a $1 billion budget. The city of Atlanta's budget is about $600 million.
Wow.
That tells you that when you look at these schools, you got to look at them as financial powerhouses. Now, I will guarantee you, if you start running down the contract of who is supplying computers in Clayton County, you're going to run into somebody's cousin, auntie, husband, boyfriend, old lady or something, because that tell anybody who would even try to suggest to you, given a child who has been put out of school for discipline, other areas, a laptop, and all of a sudden, they student achievement done shot out the roof. I mean, call me stupid. If that's the case, we can do away with all of the $1 billion budget and just give every child a laptop. Tell them we can have one man, two or three IT people. We can get rid of we can get rid of principal, assistant principal, clerks, the medical staff, the cafeteria staff. Just give them a computer and go home, and let them do it that way.
Yeah, let me ask one other question in reference
Hold on. We got to ask it on the other side of the break, all right?
Okay,
all right, 448-922-7703. When we come back, we'll go to Jihad, Farad, and Tim, and we'll wrap it up with Chandra. We got other things to touch on today. Got a lot for you in the next hour. Stick and stay. Don't move an inch. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WL.